Okay, we're recording.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order, 6:14. Monday, July 15th. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We're going to motion to approve the minutes. We have a motion by Kevin, and second by Ken. Everybody read them. I didn't see any issues with them. They look fine to me. So,
It was a white one.
It really was. So, okay, we're going to call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Okay, Mark's resolution is 216, right? So we'll just pass that for now. Resolution 226, reappointing Vic for the work.
I'd like to second that. Vic is a constituent of mine.
Okay. Okay, any discussion?
Pretty much.
His wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Only Bart many political activities.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Resolution 234, which is setting a public hearing on the law regarding the signage, right, for the
I love the date that you used.
I'm sure.
Thanks.
Pictures of the different cities right now. I've allowed you three differences in cash and 8 cents a gallon, 10 cents a gallon, and 12 cents.
I'm. Who moved in second? I'm just wondering.
Nobody moved in second.
Okay, Ben moved it. Let's see. Second. Johnson.
So I have gotten three different ranges recently because I know there was. I think, you know, as you know, I've taken out, we got watered down. Last time, many people wanted to do it. You were very persistent.
You were good. I don't want to say watered down. I want to say made better.
All right, well. But, I mean, I think it's very simple, you know, just tell me what my gas is before I pull in. So I don't have to, you know, pull in and then find out what it is. And when we talk about cash and credit, they actually make out with the credit because the people don't have to come in there. That's one of the reasons why, in other words, most basically will take the credit because they have, in one instance, if they have a lot of customers coming in, gas, they may need two people behind the counter. I mean, if everybody's paying cash, but the idea you don't even have to show up, you don't have to just fill your card in and walk out.
All right, go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I disagree with that assessment. Having worked and helped run a family business in the Hudson Valley, having to deal with the gasoline industry, not owning a gasoline store, but doing compliance testing for many gas stations, I can tell you that they don't want credit business, that they very specifically, in most cases, the station loses money on the gasoline that they sell. When you include all the compliance testing, the cost of the tanks, the cost of the pumps, and especially when you go into the fact that the station is only making 2 to 3 cents per gallon, which is actually less than the county makes, you know, on a gallon as well, which I think is just it's ridiculous. But anyway, when they swipe, there's a swipe charge, then there's a percentage taken off of the credit card. By the end of your sales of gasoline, depending on how much throughput you're doing, you're losing money on the gasoline. The gasoline is essentially a vehicle or a means to get the people into your store to buy the high profit items such as soda, coffee. Coffee is the highest profit item at one of these convenience stores. You know, to make it harder for these gas stations, many of which are not making a lot of money on the gas, to me, the price is already required by state law. All the prices have to be visible at the point of sale. So when you get to the pump, on top of the pump, there's the pump sign, and that is required to have both prices on it. Many of these large signs at the roadside are not equipped to have, you know, if there's three prices on it, they're not equipped to have six prices. If there's one price on it, they only put the price of unleaded up there. you know, regular unleaded, then they're not equipped to have the second price on there. So many of the stations have, and I don't know that I've been to one that dual prices, that doesn't have cash already written on the sign. Sometimes it's smaller because it's hard, you know, it's hard to put something else up there.
A bait and switch.
You know, I don't think you can call it a bait. No, it's okay. Back and forth is fine with me. It's fine with you. I mean, I don't think that you can call it a bait and switch if they're visibly showing you at the pump what the price is. And it has to be, the prices have to be the same size at the pump, too. You'll notice they're all on the same size signs. I think that it's...
Let's hear Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead, Kev. I'll be done for now.
I'll get back to Lister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No one... hates blood-sucking gas stations more than I do. I think I made that point very clear last year when we were debating this, too. But I'm also a businessman, and I find it hard to believe, Ken, that the gas stations only make 2 to 3 cents a gallon at close to $4 a gallon, sometimes up over. You know, I went there the other day, and I hit the premium button by accident, paid $4.37, and I'm like, oh, what an idiot I am. But... I think I think last year when this came up, we had some fair compromises that I don't see it in the law now. One of them was that existing signs have to say either cash or credit price, not both. I mean, I think it's a lot for your average gas station, even if they are run by big corporations, to totally redo their signs. I know they can be very expensive. You have to go through sometimes zoning laws and stuff like that. And we did make a to that any new signs that get put up, whether they're, you know, remodeling, renovating, or a new gas station, would have to have room for both prices. So I thought both of them were fair compromises. I could support the compromise the way we had it last year, but forcing hundreds of business owners this year within 120 days of this to come up with new signs, I think, might be counterproductive.
Okay, can I?
Yes, I'm done.
My thoughts on English are Dustin. I agree with Dave and Lynn. I'm frustrated. I use my debit card. Use a debit card, and I will pull into a gas station when I see a sign that says $2.80, and pull in, and then I see double signs, $2.90 and $2.80. I feel it's deceptive. I think put $2.90 on the sign, and then if I go in, no problem. If it's $2.80 with cash, then I decide what to do. I just think it's deceptive.
Rick, can you tell me where you're going for $2.90?
I'm just... Yeah. Let's start with Legislator Donaldson.
Lynn hasn't gone yet, I don't think.
Oh, you haven't gone. I'm sorry, Legislator.
The only thing I would say is that it's frustrating that I, too, use my debit card, but I don't get the debit... I don't get the cash price at the pump because I'm using a debit card. But to me, it's... Cash, direct access to my money, and with not the same transaction fee that you have to pay a credit card company. That's part of my challenge with this. And if they're going to do it, then ensure that if you use your debit, which some gas stations do, if you use your debit, you get the cash price. There's a place on Ulster Avenue. If you use your debit card, you get the cash price. If you use a credit card, then you don't. So, if we're going to do it, then let's be fair across the board.
And, that's one of the reasons why I don't use a debit card. I use a credit card, and I just, pay it at the end of the month, get the points. But the thing is, I would have no problem where they would just have to do the regular price. And have regular at whatever the price is, and then the cash price showing it's 10 cents less or something, or a cash price, then you know. In other words, if you pull in, you know it's going to be 10 cents more, because you see it. Even if you're buying the premium, you know you're going to be paying 10 cents more because that's what they have up there. In other words, instead of having everything listed, I would have no problem with that. I just want to know what I'm paying as I pull in, because like I said, the ones that I've gotten, I've only got three of them. There's an 8 cents, a 10 cents, a 12 cents difference. So I mean, you don't know what the difference is on the outside until you pull in. When you pull at the pump, you do. But then you get, like Tracy said, I pull up into the pump, and all of a sudden it's 10 cents more. What am I going to do?
pull out.
I'm going to pull out. I got a 2-year-old in the back seat. I've got a number of things that I got to go to. I'm going to pump the gas.
Sounds like a choice to me. I mean,
it is, but that's the bait and switch. Here, come on in here. Come on in. It's only $375, and you get there at $385.
Thank you. It seems like the same kind of thing, like, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond sends out coupons every month, 20% off, you know, any one single item. And then you look on the back, and you need a magnifying glass to look at it, and there's like 6,000 things that they sell that aren't included in the 20% off. That is almost, I think, a worse bait and switch. And nobody has any problem with that, but the big bad gas stations that are raking in all this money that they're not raking in are, you know, it's not okay for them to put their lowest price on the sign. And it's not even that the lowest price isn't offered and not available to the public. It's available to the public as long as you pay with cash, because that it's actually not more expensive for credit. It's a distinction that needs to be made. It's a discount to pay with cash, because it's illegal for them to charge more for you to use a credit card. So it's a cash discount. It's not an increased price. I'm just saying, I think it's a distinction that needs to be made.
And what about the idea of putting the credit price on there?
That's what I would say.
And then say cash discount. Then said cash discount. Then people know what they're paying.
My problem with the law, one of my problems with the law, I have numerous, is that it's just one more case where we are requiring people to do less of their own homework. This is government requiring a business to do something so people don't have to get out of their car or even one complaint which blows my mind is, well, you drive up to the pump, well, what are you going to do? I have to pump gas now that I pulled into the gas station. It's like that extra 60 feet is just the worst.
Well, it can be, sometimes it is, you're doing traffic, like I said, whatever happens.
Legislator Donaldson, am I correct that you would accept one price as long as it's designated cash or credit?
No, the higher one.
What I'm going to pay when I go in there if I'm paying for credit. I would accept, in other words, if they put the credit price up there, I'd get the highest price up there and then say 10 cents.
One price, highest price.
Yeah, that's what I believe, too.
Okay. I mean that's a lot easier than totally reconfiguring signs.
Well, then what we could do is we just put that as a... or type of thing. And say you can, as long as you put the highest price up there, and then
for each of the grades of gas.
You know, I'm less concerned about each grade of gas, you know, because most people know when you're going in, you're going to be paying.
But if you pay the highest price for just the highest, and you only have one price up there, and it's the premium gas. I mean, it's going to, that's going to be, so if you're going
to
post price.
To me, that blows your entire argument about that.
I want to know what I'm going to be paying. I buy the cheapest.
Since he's only paying regular, he only cares about the rest of the
No, price. I mean, most people do, and most people know that when you pull in, if you're going to buy premium gas, you're going to be paying more.
Well, I think if you're, never mind, I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but yeah, if you don't know that premium gas is going to cost more than regular gas, you shouldn't be driving a car. But
they usually post all three. So what they should be posting is the highest that you're going to pay for the three offers.
Right.
And that amendment, I think, you all can live with.
I can live with one, as long as businesses don't have to totally reconfigure their signs.
They just change the price, which they do all the time.
They have the highest price on there. I could live with that.
I think that's fair, too.
I think that's a good compromise.
Because then you know, if you got cash, hey, you might get lucky and get lower, because not everyone does lower it. Mm-hmm. You know, in Stone Ridge, they have one price. And I go there, it's more expensive a lot of times than other places, but I know I'm paying what's on the sign. I can't stand going to a place that says 380. You know, like I said, got a different price.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine, too, because I agree.
So you're willing to make the amendment?
Well, whatever. What is the amendment? How are we doing? In other words, right now, we leave it like it is, but we have an alternative for them to follow. If they wish. That's the law that came out of Dutchess County.
No, but I agree with Kevin. If somebody's only got space for one thing, why would you want to go spend money to build a new sign, go through the county board, county planning board?
They can instead put the highest price, in other words, the credit price, Exactly. With the idea that cash discount, 10 cent cash discount.
Well, they don't have to put that. If they want to put it, they can.
Yeah,
if they want to, what they're going to do is they're going to eliminate the discount.
If you put 375 off credit price, I think people would know that they get a cash break.
Yeah.
Well, it's up to them. I mean, if I was them, I would write, I'd take out a cash
break. At this point, when I drive down the road and I see 345 cash, I know I'm paying more for credit, so if I don't want to pay more for credit, I drive on fast.
I know what I'm paying for the credit. You don't know what you're going to pay
for. So at that point, you're choosing to let people know, you know, what about the person who's driving down the road wants to know what the cash price is, Dave? How's that fair to them?
You can put discount.
10 cent discount.
You don't... Well, they have to put the 10 cent discount on there, or maybe the discount varies as the price of gas varies.
They would change it. They just go up there and change
it. It seems to be.
How often do they change those signs?
Listen up. We got Mark here on a night and he wants to get out of here.
All right, so you got the...
Okay, so I guess we can't debate this anymore. We can't do our jobs because...
No, I'm just saying we're kind of... I think we're fine.
Call the question. Let's go.
No.
That's fine.
Listen.
Everyone's got some place to be.
There's an amendment. I'm not... I'm just saying we're starting to say the same arguments over and over again. And go.
I was disagreeing with the amendment with entirely different reasons, but that's fine.
All right, so the amendment. Can you state that point for us?
I was just saying that such signs must display in all instances the price of gallon at a standard retail price available to all customers without any discounts or special offers. If discount pricing is displayed on the sign, it must be the same price as the regular price per gallon. I think you're already saying that. If you only have one price up there, it needs to be the highest price.
Yeah.
All right, then that's good.
So
and
maybe
read that again, Fawn, because I wasn't thinking about it.
Such signs must display in all instances the price of gallon at the standard retail price available to all customers without any discount or specific special offers. If the discount price is displayed on the sign, it must be the same size as the regular price of gasoline. So that if there's another price listed there, it has to be the same size.
The law, like you said, comes out of Dutchess County. It's been
the last
years.
The last thing I'll say, at least until, at least, well, no, on this resolution. It's just one more instance, and I've seen many an instance like this since I've been on the legislature. It's just one more instance where we're making Ulster County less business friendly. It's one more way to discourage businesses from opening in Ulster County, because guess what? You're not going to be able to highlight your discounts to your customers because people are too lazy to drive into and out of a gas station.
Can I just say something, and I'm going to just make my last comment? You know what, Ken? I understand what you're saying, but it's kind of, what's a coincidence that the gas stations don't post the highest price? And a lot of them don't post that there is a higher price for
thank you
for cash, for credit or debit.
Well, if you're posting cash on there, then you're saying that there's going to be a higher price for credit.
It should be in letters this big in the corner. Well, if I would believe, I think your argument would have more credibility, and I would probably agree with it if one gas station had the cash price, another one had the credit price, another one had both prices, and this one had cash price, this one had credit.
That's the way it works.
Every single one that posts one price posts the lowest price because they want to get you in there.
See, I disagree. The steward shops in my town. I can show you two gas stations in my.
Do cash and credit.
Stewart's doesn't do cash and credit. They display one price that is their price.
But it's the same for cash and credit.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
You know what it is.
Well, why do the companies, like if you go out by the mall, those companies are same price cash and credit. Once you get on Ulster Avenue and Broadway in the city of Kingston, they are cash and credit, two separate prices. And I will not go to any of those. I'll go out to town of Ulster because I know what.
Good, that's the cap. That's capitalism working.
But none of them have just the higher price listed. They have the lower price only or both prices.
If you let's say Kevin Roberts, Kevin Roberts owns a roofing business. Is he gonna display his highest price possible for a roof, or is he gonna say roof starting at $4,500?
People don't need a roof 3 days a week. You know, it's a people call it, but they don't. People need to get gas all the time. So you know what? It's not a hardship. In my opinion, it's not a hardship on anything. It's
not having worked in the gas business. I'm sure you're an expert on it.
Listen, I bet no gas companies go out of business because of this.
No,
that's something to shoot for.
It's the exact same law. It's nothing new.
We're at such times, let's just play it on. If this is the price of gasoline, we just put the one line in there. If only one price is posted,
it must be the highest.
It must be such time.
I think that's perfect.
Thank you, Vaughn.
Yes.
And I'd like to add, Rich, that you know it's not like we're putting a regulation on a new industry that never had a regulation put on before. The guest
talking about an overregulated industry.
I realize that this is to protect consumers. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating. I mean, you know, the price of gasoline is the biggest drain on the economy, and sure, it could be a lot of it has to do with the oil company profits and the taxation that governments put on it, including this government too, and we should probably think about an amendment to this, maybe capping the gas tax at say about $4 a gallon, so if the gas price ever spikes again, we can't take advantage of it.
That would be another resolution.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I feel like somebody did that before, and there was a certain chairman that ruled it out of order.
No, I on advice from the attorney.
Yeah, it was.
All right,
let's call the question. So we have an amendment by Roberts and seconded by
Archer. Rock. No, not Rock.
You almost had Rock in there.
No.
Is that a friendly amendment?
No.
You don't mind that as amendment?
I'd take a vote. I'm voting no.
Let's vote on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's carried 4-1. Okay. Can we vote?
I'm done.
Public hearing?
I'm thoroughly done.
The public hearing? Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried 4-1. Okay. Thank you.
I'll vote for it tomorrow because I have a personal opposition to voting against public hearings. But.
You just did.
That's right. It's a protest vote tonight.
Resolution 270. Got two more marketing. Resolution 270, establishing a policy for bids in electronic format.
I'll move it.
Second. No brainer.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do they get like a receipt? I'm assuming they get a receipt.
It's done through BidNet. It'll be a third party, and everything will be.
Right.
Yep, they'll get a number, so they'll get everything. We don't see them before that.
Okay, late resolution. Did everybody get the email approving the memorandum of agreement with the contract with the Sheriff's Association?
Yeah.
The frustrating thing, it looks like it doesn't even bring us crooked.
It doesn't. None of our binding arbitration stuff. This came from. This wasn't binding arbitration. This was. It was okay. I thought this was a mediator.
Is your motion?
I'll move it.
Let's say Rock motion. Let's say Don Wilson second.
I thought it might have been a mediator's agreement, but this might.
I think it was.
Yeah, because I think this was before we got to binding arbitration. But I mean, even with our sheriff's PBA contract, which went to binding arbitration, we're still, I think, 2 years behind on that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is
my
situation.
What's that?
If you read the resolution, it says, where the county attorney, labor attorney William Wallens, and members of the executive staff have negotiated a memorandum of agreement covering the period of March 17, 2008 to December 31st, 2009. So this is not a binding arbitration. This was
I think it was in mediation because the executive and I had a conversation about it where the mediator came back with, like, pretty much exactly the executive's office that we have offered them.
Okay.
I was disappointed, and this is more process than substance. I was disappointed that the executive's office had written into the contract that we would pass it at our July meeting, because this came up, I want to say, last week. Yeah. And I don't believe this qualifies as a late resolution, especially since it doesn't bring us current with the contract, so waiting another month wouldn't be the end of the world. But since this has already been ratified...
They had to ratify it before today's meeting.
Right.
It is ratified, and it's
but right, but the fact that they ratified it that way, I'm gonna very reluctantly support it. I don't think this qualifies under our rules as a late resolution because
should we?
I don't think we can because it's written in the contract.
No, I mean, we already have it.
Yeah.
Should we do a chairman letter to ask for a more timely?
Well, you know, yeah, you know what? Being involved in these types of negotiations in the past, you know, they just happen.
Yeah.
You know, they all of a sudden things come together
no.
and they happen. And what happens is once it comes together, you know, and maybe a Tuesday night, Friday morning, who knows? But it's they've been working on this for a long time, and then finally it's there. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, for us to say, you know, it's late.
Rich, this is a good example. We should have an attorney here to, you know, help us out, guide us with that.
Mark's an attorney.
That's true.
Well, he's not one of our attorneys.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah, Happy's usually here at every meeting.
Happy is out of town.
We do have three attorneys. One of them should be here to help us along with, you know, legal issues like this.
Rigucci said that he was going to be here, but he's not.
Like I said, I'll support it. I just, you know, for the purposes of process, I'm usually the guy who harps on process. So.
And besides, I like that. I think it's entertaining for Dave to argue with the attorneys all meeting.
I can't say, like, attorneys are more than like, let them sit in the back.
Okay. So
I believe we settled that in the 1960s, Dave.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah, it's identified at the beginning anyway. I wasn't ready. But we got it up now. I prepared a PowerPoint project for the public hearing. I can give it now. It's quick. And then answer questions if you don't want. I'm going to stand just because I'm used to standing. But for those of you who I haven't met, I'm Mark Ryder, the new director of purchasing. No, you introduced me. But so basically what best value is, I'll walk you through the PowerPoint. But it's looking at the overall cost, not just the initial purchase point, purchase price, which is what we do now. For purchases over $20,000 for goods and over $35,000 for public works, we're required to do competitive sealed bids to the lowest responsive bidder. State law changed in 2012 to allow us to use best value. It just requires that the county pass the local law. So best value, the basis for awarding procurements, the offer which optimizes quality, cost, and efficiency among the offerers. So basically we will be putting out with our solicitation documents the criteria just like we do for RFPs right now. It'll say what our scoring system is, and we, in the solicitation documents, have to say that we're awarding on the basis of best value. So it's not like we can get back bids and say we'd like to award to somebody else. We have to award based off of either lowest responsive bidder or best value, whatever we put out in the bid docs. This is from state finance law. Just there's a law that amended section 103. This is the amendment. It just basically says that purchase contracts may be awarded on the basis of best value. So one part of that amendment said that it's in the matter provided by this section, which means that the overall language of General Municipal Law 103, which requires the sealed bidding, is still intact. We're still going to be required to advertise bids. We're still going to be required to accept sealed offers, which cannot be opened until we open them publicly, which is stated in the bid documents at a specific time. We do weekly bid openings right now. And it'll be the same when we do choose best value. Identity of the offers will be disclosed. And we require a statement of non-collusion. Yeah, a quote from the law, the amendment that states that it should be objective and quantifiable. So right now, when we do sealed bids to the lowest responsive, responsible bidder, all we're looking at is purchase price. once we start to use best value, which I should say is only going to be used, I would say, with 5% of our procurements, we're going to continue to use lowest responsible bidder for the vast majority. But beyond purchase price, we'll be able to look at installation costs, delivery terms, life cycle costs, so the total long-term cost of the county to acquire the goods and services, compliance with the best reputation of the goods and services, quality and reliability, past relationship with the county, knowledge and compliance with regulatory requirements, any cost of employee training, effect of a purchase, hours of operation for technical assistance, availability, delivery times, energy efficiency and other environmental benefits, and other factors including offer status as certified small business or certified minority or women-owned business enterprise. One example is a lawnmower. Instead of just looking at the initial purchase price, we'd be able to look at the cost of maintenance, ease of operation, warranties, total life cycle costs, what kind of oil it takes.
Mark?
Yes.
When you said it only impacts 5% of the bids, can you help me to understand?
Yeah, I mean, we're only going to use best value when it makes sense. So,
for you most, said 5%, so can you
That's just a number I threw out there, but, you know, pens, paper, for a lot of products, we're going to take lowest, you know, responsible bidder. With help of the department that we're making the procurement for, we'll ask them, you know, do you think that best value should be a basis we award this at? We'll talk about why. We'll determine the criteria in advance, then we'll decide. But
so
again,
criteria will be set up so there's no gaming the system after the fact.
Correct. Just like our RFPs right now where the offers know the selection criteria, the evaluation criteria. So light bulbs, again, we can look at energy efficiency and the useful life of the product instead of just purchase price. You know, buy a light bulb and it lasts a year, but it's cheaper. Is it really, you know, a better value than if it lasts 2 or 3 years? Guards against abuse, same process that we use for RFPs. Evaluation criteria will be included in the solicitation documents. Scoring system will be defined in the solicitation documents, and they will prescribe the minimum specs or requirements that must be met in order to be considered responsive.
Yeah. I'll wait till the end and then see if it's answered.
All right. Taxpayer's dollar will receive maximum value. Purchaser will be more inclined to use the resulting contract. And once we do a bid, depending on, you know, the departments aren't always necessarily using that bid if we don't end up with a good product. Fewer protests result in regulated or related delays minimized. That's because, you know, now if someone is, you have 2 or 3 bids that are similar but not the exact same product, and you're not looking at best value, you're just looking at purchase price, you actually do open up for more protests because bidders are going to say, well, the product's higher quality, etc. Best value at the right price point, and environmental benefits and other factors besides purchase price will be considered. This is where I give credit to Paul Brennan, Director of Purchasing, Rockland County, who's put many conferences together with this, and then used some of his materials. Did I answer your question or no?
No.
Okay.
Is there a maximum dollar amount that between the lowest bid and the best value bid, is there a maximum dollar amount that those can be apart?
No. And it's because we have to look at it from the beginning.
Right.
And if it's best value, again, we're not going to just be able to, it has to
right, I understand.
Qualify.
There has to be
value.
Specific,
so
right.
Even if the purchase price isn't, you know, the best value, and oftentimes it's going to be. Most of the time, you know, we're going to still
right.
work to the best purchase
right.
price. Where it's not, if it's still best value, and it costs us more initially, but will save us money in the long term. I don't know that
right.
It should be a...
I guess if I could just put my question in the form of a hypothetical.
Right.
I guess maybe that would be better. We recently had a discussion about buying energy-efficient vehicles. There was a discussion about buying Priuses for the fleet. We were brought a cost-benefit analysis on buying Priuses that showed that over the life of a Prius, it's about $10,000 more per vehicle than I think the Ford Focuses we were buying, because the Ford Focuses have gotten to be so energy-efficient that the discrepancy in original purchase price and then your savings over the life of the vehicle is not enough to overcome the high purchase price at the beginning. And that and what concerns me is one of the things that can be used is environmental benefit. It could be seen as part of a best value procurement. So is there a chance that we could spend $10,000 more and just imagine that there would be some environmental benefit?
I mean, we would have to quantify it.
We would have to make a policy, probably, if we wanted to make a policy.
I don't know that you would with this, because I believe that they could quantify it in reduction of greenhouse gases.
Carbon emissions.
I think that that's how they would quantify it. So that's just a concern.
But is there a dollar value attached to that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
dollar value to that.
You could use whatever the federal government was talking about using carbon credits for, and you could figure out how much carbon, how much money that would cost, and that would be it. I don't know. It's a concern of mine going forward, because I wouldn't be in favor of something like that. But I just want to know if that could happen.
And the reason it would be hard to put, I think, a maximum limit on it,
right,
is because we have, you know, heavy equipment for
DPW. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Where if you're talking about a $500,000 piece of machinery, you're going to blow that limit.
Absolutely. So, I appreciate it. Yeah. I just, you know, just thinking ahead. That's all.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Yep. First of all, thank you for coming and being patient with us.
Appreciate
it. Question I have is there some sort of grievance policy in place if, say, somebody feels that they should have been entitled to it? They, you know, maybe they were the lowest responsible and somebody else got it. Is any grievance?
Yeah, we have formal protests. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody might believe that they were the most responsive, that somebody else, the lowest bidder, wasn't responsive to the actual specifications. They didn't answer the exact questions. They didn't provide... Maybe they provided an alternative product. We have those. We do have protests from time to time.
Who hears them?
Yeah, they go to me first, and then I believe they would go to...
Probably an administrative hearing officer.
I'm guessing it's an administrative hearing officer.
Probably Luke Klein.
Do you have suits as a result? I mean, have we been sued as a result of these? Or are things pretty much satisfied in the grievance
process?
For
the most part, they're satisfied. I'm not aware of any times that we've been sued.
Mm-hmm. No,
I'm not aware of any
times. Have they ever overruled or said, you know, maybe we missed this point?
I'm not aware of any times that, I mean, obviously I haven't. I don't know if Robin had in the past overruled anybody.
It boils down to the clarity in the beginning of what you're trying to price.
And we review all the, you know, documents that go out. So I would say for the most part, I mean, because three or four people in between the county departments and our department have reviewed these for clarity and everything else. For the most part, I would say we don't get many protests just because specifications are clear and, you know.
Okay.
And just if I could, just one more shout out to Carol Armstrong. I'm sure everyone does just as fantastic of a job as her, but she did a fantastic job, and I think opened my eyes and Rich's eyes to the RFP process, because we were involved in the audit committee in scoring that, and that was, you know, it just blows my mind that people are doing this all the time.
Yeah.
It's really in depth. It's something. Oh man.
Did it once and I never
wanted to. We have to rotate the audit committee, make sure everyone.
There was a lot of reading.
Right.
Great. Any other questions for
Mr. Chairman? Just as a, you know, to add to Mark's presentation, first and foremost, we audited the purchasing department in June, put our audits up in line, specific to many of the issues that were raised, including best value. If it brings any comfort to this, you know, to this body, The state controller has chimed in on the ability of using best value and lays out in a November 2013 memorandum the rules of engagement of what best value truly is. And Mark's presentation lines up directly with the rest of the state. So it's not like we are reinventing the wheel. We're adopting what's been already perceived as best practices throughout the state and just bringing it into Ulster County to what we believe in our office to our advantage. And we oftentimes hear that vendors complain because it's not always about the buck. It's not always the cheapest, you know, bid there. And to Mark's credit, I will say in his short tenure as in the purchasing department, he's brought a lot of professionalism to it. And this is one more step towards that.
Great. If I could add one thing, just going through last meeting's minutes in my head, I know that there was some questions about being able to just use best value to maybe give local vendors procurement.
That was a concern.
It's actually not. I mean, these are still sealed bids, and statutes have been struck down, but procurements where they're giving local advantage like that in their sealed bids have been struck down time and time again. So we would not use best value to do that. We did put in the procurement manual the changes that were adopted last month for RFPs, which don't have to do with sealed bidding, a local economic development criteria that will be added to all of our RFPs going forward. And I separated those in a summary for everyone to look at, so hopefully they looked at them and they passed those procurement guidelines. But best value itself wouldn't be used for local economic development.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, we do.
Maybe we should at least think about it, put an email together, each of us submitting what things we want to take a look at, so we have at least a starting point for next discussion.
That's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it. They put an ending point for reducing the legislature to 21. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's something. Why don't you do it? It really doesn't make sense that we have 23. It's a weird number, and it also creates a bigger hardship to override vetoes. And, you know, because you're really now you're needing, like, instead of 2/3, you're needing, like, 71%.
Yeah. That's true.
You're going to love it. Dave, so my take on it, I would say either go up to or go down to. It's your choice.
I'm all for discussing it. I mean, I think there's a lot of important things too we need to tackle.
Maybe that'd be one thing that I would like to see.
Another thing I think that we should talk about is non-charter related, but I don't know if everyone had a chance to look at the comptroller's report on salaries in the county. I think that's something we're going to have to look at. I've also asked him as a follow-up to look at salaries in the district attorney's office, because Holly's come for years and years now asking for increases for his assistant district attorneys. And it's concerning to me because I can tell you that there is a paralegal in the county attorney's office that makes more than the entry-level entry-level compensation for a full-time ADA, and that's kind of concerning.
It's absurd. Right.
And longevity and everything's included in that, but at the same point, I mean, you're talking a paralegal versus someone who's had to pass the bar and is going to be going to try and, you know, put away the criminals. you know,
and,
so.
And he's paying one hell of a bill.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I told Holly last time he should have brought the horse. I said, you
Holly's problem the last time was we had budgeted for a 2% raise for everybody, so giving his employees the raise that he thought they deserved would have been a 5% increase, you know, and that's kind of, you know, and he doesn't do the best job of selling it when he comes. So he and I have had talks. He was very disappointed with me last time, I guess. But
he was happy with me, though.
Yeah, good for you, Dave.
Well, that's definitely worthy of me discussing.
I had to throw that in there.
Okay. And we're also still, I think, the second or third lowest paid county legislature in the state. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, but we're here for public service.
I agree with you. Hey, I'm not quitting because of the, you know, because of what we're compensating.
It needs to be like that. It's, you know, what happens is we don't want to look at it because it looks bad politically or whatever it looks like. But I mean, yeah, you know, it was funny because the people from Dutchess County were trying to find out what we were paid. They were going to, you know, ask for, what were they going to ask for? They were going to ask for, the chairman was going to get, the chairman right there, I think it's 38,000,
something like that.
40,000.
Ours gets 19.
And they wanted to help them like to 45, and they're, what did the legislators get?
15,999.
We can discuss it. I think things you need to see, though, are how many, like Westchester County, there's one legislator for 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Westchester County is one legislator for 8,000 people.
Yeah,
so
when they
say the duties and responsibilities are different. Some kind of staff, because they
represent some. But Westchester County people are paid 75, 80 grand.
Well, Suffolk County, they have district offices fully staffed.
Suffolk County,
they
have
23 legislators for a million people.
No, I'm aware.
They could be represented.
Suffolk is where the assemblymen and things like that, they want to run for county legislature.
That's correct. I know of one case where Assemblyman LaSquadro, who represented the 2nd Assembly District, resigned from the Assembly to run for county for town highway superintendent of Brookhaven, which pays like $180,000.
No.
Town of Brookhaven is very, very large, though.
I get it.
So.
I make a motion to adjourn this. We're still having a conversation.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Do you have one of these?
No.
Because, you know what? I tell you what, my problem is.
I think we should ban.